your Bible. Oh, open your Bible to Acts chapter 28. So much of the testimonies this morning actually talked about a lot of what we want to discuss today and talk about today, having to do with living in this world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we magnify you this morning. We exalt you. Father, we thank you for the finished work which you have done, that you abide with us, that you live in us and through us in this world. And we thank you, Lord, that you have made provision for us through your word and through the Holy Spirit, so that we walk with you and that we know whom we have believed, and that you are able to keep that which we have committed unto you against that day, the day of your return. So, Father, today, as we look into the Scripture, what seems like just a historical account, Lord, we thank you that we see the hand of God in our own life, the hand of God in the things that we do from day to day, the hand of God in the things that seem to be overwhelming. So we worship you and we give you praise and we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. When we look through the book of Acts, it's a lot of time we look at it strictly, almost strictly, as history, and we blow through it or we avoid it. Sometimes we're looking for a doctrinal answer. And so many times, you know, we'll try to hit the epistles and go look for a doctrinal answer in the epistles, because those seem to be the tool that God uses many times to correct or to direct or to teach and instruct us with respect to doctrine, which is, I mean, if you look at the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, all the rest of them, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, you know, all the rest. And so we look at those and we tend to go in there and go look for these things, or we look to the Gospels and we look to the teachings of Jesus. In our house church on Wednesday night, or whatever night we were, Wednesday or Thursday, we went through the book of Acts, because I believe that the Lord, number one, told us to do it. But to follow the beginnings of the church, follow how the church grew and how the church developed and how the Word of God grew because of the way in which God used Paul and used John and used Peter and the various other disciples and raised up those who were young men into apostleships themselves, Stephen and Philip, raised up Barnabas, you know, not just the 12 disciples as we know them, but began to raise up others. And so those 12 were not the only apostles, but those 12 were the beginning of the apostles. Those are ones who were sent out. And those apostles became other apostles, like Irenaeus and Polycarp and various, the generations began to come and go. God began to move. And God is still moving today. The book of Acts has 28 chapters. And, you know, I kind of liken it to where maybe it was over a period of, say, Jesus was ascended about 33 A.D. Well, 28 years later, you know, we've got, past 60. And about 28 years, let's say 28 chapters in over 28 years. I know that's probably not perfectly accurate. But let's say today we're writing the book of 2014, the 2014th chapter of the book of Acts. Amen? We might as well be writing the 2014th chapter from that period of time. Because God's still working, God's still in you, God's still here by the Holy Spirit making things happen, making lives change. Amen? Every time you walk out the door, the living God is moving and taking things into His hands and changing people's lives because of you. Moi? Yes. Didn't you know? Did you not know that the living God and the Holy Spirit, if you are born from above, born again, you have a light on the inside of you. You have a neon sign, believe it or not. Now, whether or not your behavior indicates that you believe everything that's taking place, that's another thing. But the fact is, I believe this, is that every one of you as a believer has a neon sign on them. Amen? It's not just your good works. But the fact is that you're born from above. You have light and life on the inside of you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So when you walk through a dark place and walk through a dark room, guess what? You light the place up. Now, just because somebody sees you and says, whoa, you know, a little confused. They saw a light, but then they saw, you know, saw dirt on your pants or something. You know, they wonder, well, what contradiction is this? But the fact is that you are born of God. You carry in you. You're not unborn again because you sinned. I hope you know that. Anybody know that? Everybody know that, hopefully? Is you're not unborn again because you sinned. You didn't lose your salvation because you sinned. You lose your salvation, you don't lose it. You could choose to throw it off. God talks about it in Hebrews. You could choose to throw it off. Somebody would disagree with that in some quarters. I don't. I believe the Scripture backs it up. But the fact is that you're not losing it just because you sinned. Listen to me, because some of you are afraid. Some of you are all nervous. Stop being nervous, because the love of God is bigger than your worst sin. Amen? Amen? It is. It really is. Yes, it is. The love of God is bigger than your worst sin. Bigger than the one that the devil brought up to you and said, well, that's it. You're done for. There's no way out for you now. No, it's not true. No. Those people in Hebrews who began to put hope in those dead idols say, well, you know, I think I'll just, instead of Jesus, I think I'll go back and sacrifice me a goat or a lamb and hope that works. No, that's gone. Remember when Jesus cut the curtain? Remember when the Father cut the curtain right after Jesus breathed and said it was finished and he died and he gave up the ghost? The veil in the temple was rent in two by God from the top to the bottom. He said, this is over. This part's over. If they build a temple here at the end times, it won't help a thing. Amen? It won't help you. Let's put it that way. And it won't help them. Amen? It might fulfill a scripture and lead us toward the last day and the day of the coming of the Lord, but it's not going to help you with respect to your salvation or anybody else's. Amen? Now, but what God is doing is He's moving in you, and every day He's showing Himself to be mighty on the inside of you. I want you to remember that. I want you to believe that. I want you to walk with that and to know that, because every day then you're encouraged when you wake up and look at yourself in the mirror and you know that you're born again and that the living God indwells you. Amen? You're not taken aback by the fact that you have failed or that you have messed up. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. That was just free. Amen. Now, we remember that Paul was shipwrecked on an island of Melita. Most folks believe it's the island of Malta, which is south of Sicily, south of the boot, south of Italy. And the island of Malta was in the shipping lane, and that's where the shipwreck took place. And apparently, this particular ship had left late in the season, and that's why it ran into all the storms. Remember all the storms they ran into? That was the winter season. And they ran into the storms that everybody knew about, because later on, apparently, they got into another ship that had wintered on that island. It had already been there. Where they crashed ashore, they crashed ashore, obviously not in a shipping lane area, just on the other side of the island. The island itself is about 20 miles long. And about 12 miles wide. And they spent 3 months there. 3 months on that island. Having lost everything, except, even as Paul said, except their lives. Had lost everything in the ship. But God had given them the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to pass. God had given them Paul's word, and they realized that this was a man of God. This was a man who knew God. You know, God will give you that. God will work in you that same gift. God will give you a word of knowledge. God will give you a word of wisdom as you require it, as you need it for the days that you're living in. For the people you come across, God will give you these gifts because they are gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They are gifts of the Spirit given to you to benefit the body of Christ. To benefit the body of Christ. Let's look at chapter 28. And when they were escaped, now another thing you remember is this is Paul. This is the story about Paul, but you remember Paul had a team. Luke was with him. The doctor was with him. Even on this voyage. And this was a big ship. This was a big boat. This is a big ship carrying lots of cargo. This wasn't like a rowboat, you know, or it wasn't like a small, you know, dinghy, you know, with just a few people on it, right? 20 or 30 people. There's over 200 people on this ship. So this was a cargo ship that they had gotten passage on with the Roman centurion and a bunch of prisoners, and to carry them along with this cargo to Rome, all right? And, of course, then they'd run into trouble in the shipping areas and into winter storms. So they had crash-landed there at Malta. And when they were escaped, that means they escaped onto the island from the ship, and the island, they learned the island was called here in Melita, or Malta. And the barbarous people, that doesn't mean they were cannibals, it just means they were pagans. They had no, they may have had other gods, but they were not, and they were not civilized as Romans. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. So these people actually had a nature. I mean, they could have, you know, been suspicious, but somehow or another, God provided a hospitable people. How many knows you can find hospitable people who are not Christians? Anybody ever done that before? Don't mistake that for godly people. That's natural law. You know, God could put a natural law in people to be hospitable and to be a blessing to you. But don't mistake that for the fact that they don't need Jesus. Don't mistake that for, well, that's, I mean, certainly every one of us knows is that it wasn't going to get you into the presence of God. It wasn't going to get you saved just because you were a wonderful, nice person. Right? I mean, you weren't going to get to heaven because of that. You thought you might, or somebody, you know, in some churches and some quarters, you know, you might think that. But these folks were very hospitable and blessed them, and God provided those people. They could have run into the cannibals, I suppose. But God kept him. God kept him. Verse 3, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper, a snake, out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance allows not to live. Now, so they knew there were prisoners. And so, you know, again, these are natural thoughts. Natural man has his own natural laws that he looks at and believes in. And you run across that. You know, how many know that whether somebody has heard the gospel or not, they have an idea about what justice is and what righteousness is, don't they? Most people have, you talk to them and they've got some idea about what's right and what's wrong. And so here, I mean, these folks are certainly religious in some way, having thought, okay, this guy was certainly a prisoner. He was with this centurion guy, the guy with the uniform and the sword. And he's coming in, and he's shipwrecked on this island. Looks like he might be able to get free. But the gods get him. You know, he was going to go free, and all of a sudden, here comes this. And you think that a lot of some people when stuff happens to them, too, don't you? Amen? Well, you know, God must have got him. Anybody remember Job and his friends? Remember that story? Job's friends are out there. Well, let's see, Job, let's figure it out. Let's find out what you did to deserve all of this. How many know trouble comes? Amen? The rain falls upon the just and the unjust. You had some rain. Some of you had some rain. And then you looked at the people next to you. Did man, how come those people didn't have any rain? Or maybe you needed rain and you didn't get any. All of these things. You know, you're looking at your life from the perspective, again, of the world. You're looking at your life from the perspective of how the world looks at things. Right? Anybody ever notice that? Anybody have a propensity to do that? Anybody have a sense that, you know, right and wrong and how come things happen the way they does? You know. Is that no? Is that things happen in the world. Things happen good, things happen bad. How do you respond to those things? And is God going to use them? Yes. He will absolutely use it. If you'll rejoice and begin to thank Him. You know, so many times we hesitate to rejoice and to give thanks. God said in everything, give thanks. Amen. Or rejoice in the Lord. Come on, I got one guy. How long y'all been here? Rejoice in the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Encourage the pastor. That's okay. Amen. All right. And in everything, give thanks, no matter what. Because it's you and God and your relationship that He brings you through everything. Doesn't matter whether your body and your flesh and your mind are being buffeted by all of these things, is that God is bringing you through everything. So no matter what comes, Paul here, no matter what comes, his example is rejoicing. And it's not just an example, but it's true. It's the life of God on the inside of you. Amen? Like that rejoicing back there. You know, yippee! You know? I mean, you don't know, that little kid doesn't know anything. You're like just like that with a little one. It's, you're born from above, and you know one thing, is that your Father in heaven loves you, and there's nothing that shall by any means hurt you. Anybody ever read Romans chapter 8? I'm convinced, I'm persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor life, nor death, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. I mean, that's your testimony. That's your testimony. Amen? So the people decided to, they could have taken justice on the guy, right? Yeah, I mean, if you're in a situation like that, in a culture like that, which is looking at a guy and saying, oh, okay, that guy's probably a murderer. Let's go ahead and take him out. Well, the snake didn't finish. Let's finish him off. But they didn't. They said, okay, no, we're just going to hide and watch. Just wait. And sometimes you should do that. Okay, we're going to get that guy. Anybody ever done anything to you? You're going to get him. And you may not get him like physically, but you may get him verbally. Or you may get him from your mind or from your heart. You may make a determination that that person will never work again. Or that person will never be happy again. And I'm going to make sure of it. Amen? Is that because we want to take justice. We want to make sure. And it could be a family member. It could be a child. Could be somebody who just did not do what you thought they ought to do. Anybody ever been that way? Yeah, thank you, brother. That's one. Yeah. Amen. Is that always letting. See, Paul even talked about that this later, and we'll talk about it later, about forgiving those who didn't show up when they should have. Amen? You ever had that? You know, you were moving and nobody showed up? And you're going to take care of him in prayer. You know, Lord, get them! They should have been with me, back to Paul and his viper and these people just watching, they had the sense to let justice, let God, the gods, whatever, take its course. God protected Paul in that instance. And of course, as they began to watch him, I love the reading of the story. It says, So the viper fastened on his hands. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said he's a murderer, and vengeance has allowed it not to live. Verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Verse 6, however they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, I love it when they stretch these things out. You know, the Bible goes very fast on some things. But I mean, it gives it a whole verse all by itself. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm to him come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. So when he should have, just the thought in the mind is being articulated. When they thought he should have swollen up and fallen down suddenly. What is wrong here? This guy should be dead. Bob got bitten by one of those last week, and we buried him. You know, might have been the same snake. But how come this guy is just walking around? So they decided he was a god. You'll remember that back earlier in, I believe, the city of Ephesus, is that local merchant seller of god idols decided that. Paul and Barnabas were Jupiter and Mercury, and so he starts selling stuff, you know, with their faces on it. And so, I mean, the people will change and make you a god in a moment, amen. And then the next moment, what will they do to you when you don't measure up? So, lesson learned: don't be a god. Don't be a god to anybody. So they put off making a judgment, and God healed him. God took care of him. God made sure that Paul was okay. I mean, take up serpents, right? They shall take up serpents. Nothing shall harm them. Verse 7, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island. Possessions. So this guy had a lot of possessions, a lot of land, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux. This guy was in bad shape. To whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Here we have Paul is beginning to, no matter what circumstance he finds himself in, this is a shipwreck, and he's a prisoner. Think of all the circumstances that are taking place and all the stuff around him and what he can be thinking about. He could be sitting under a tree and just, you know, wondering what's going to happen next. I mean, my gosh, my ship is broken. I mean, the ship we were in is all gone, and, you know, what's going to become of me? No, God, every day, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, God is an open door to use you for His glory and for His kingdom. And that's really the only purpose for you being here, to be honest with you. Amen? I mean, you might as well just go home to heaven and be in the presence of the Lord. But no, God is going to use you here every day. Well, I don't know about every day. Quit arguing. You know, everybody wants to argue. Everybody wants to, you know, limit what God will do. I want to tell you that God uses you. Is God in you every day? How about this is the day that the Lord has made? I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? God talks about I die how often? Every other Sunday. No, I die, come on, daily. Daily. So you have a daily walk with the Lord with an expectation that He's working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. He's not only changing you, but He's changing people around you. Amen? He's using you to minister and to love and to share, no matter what. I mean, you might be Facebooking and tweeting. You know, God's made all kinds of opportunities for you, not only just to go to work. It used to be go to work and phone calls. Now it's emails and tweets and Facebooks and everything. Well, I don't do that. I don't do that. Well, God bless you. Go ahead. Don't do it. That's fine. That's not a problem. Amen. It's just, you know, if you are doing it, just be ministering the love of God. Just love people. Amen? You know, people shoot you a message. Bless them. Shoot them a word. Shoot them the word of the Lord. I mean, not just, I mean, you could shoot them a quick scripture, but that's good. But what's even better is personal interaction with somebody. To let them know that you love them. You know. Like sometimes a track is good. Sometimes a track is a cop-out. Sometimes somebody needs you to talk to them and share with them and love them. Amen? A track is like, you can throw those out the window, you know, and hope somebody reads it. But no, God actually likes to use you, doesn't he? Amen. And you'd show up a bunch of places. Amen? You show up at work. You show up at the store. You know, all kinds of places where you do recreation of various types, you know. Show up places with your kids or your grandkids. And, you know, people need encouragement. There's a lot of families out there who need encouragement. You know, you have single moms, single dads who need encouragement. Amen? They need the Lord Jesus. They've been in trouble. They've been in hard places. And they don't know the love of God. They don't know that God still loves them. They thought they messed up. Huh? Amen. This is who you are. You know, and I know some of you kind of look in introspective. Well, you don't know my problems. Yeah, but I'm dealing with those right now. I'm dealing with your problems right now. Jesus is in you. He loves you. You're forgiven. What I want you now to do is begin to rejoice and to thank God. I know that you have an issue here or there. I know that your life and your family and your friends and have one thing or another. So do mine. Well, yours isn't like mine. You don't know that. And I know you may have, it may be a legitimate, big, ugly, hairy deal. But I want you to know that God is with you. He loves you. Begin to thank God for the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Amen? That's your first answer. Because you want somebody to fix your problem. No, the problem starts here. The problem starts with you not rejoicing because you need a change in your mind and your heart to begin to deal with whatever it is that's going on outside. Amen? You don't need the thing to change before you need to have change on the inside of you. All of this book of Acts and all of this book, wherever he goes, whatever Paul runs into, especially this, we're just talking about the last chapter, the last rendition that we have of Paul's life, and it doesn't end. Paul's life doesn't end. Well, he got his head cut off and went to heaven. Doesn't end like that, does it? Oh, you don't know. I hadn't finished it. Hopefully you've read this before. All right. Verse 10, this is Publius. Now, of course, all these other people were healed. They came from all quarters of the island, and they were healed, as well as Publius' father. Verse 10, Publius also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they, all these people, laid at us, gave us such things as were necessary. So God took care of them during the winter, and after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered there. Well, they just went through the winter. So where was this ship? Maybe it was on the other side where it should have landed to begin with. But this one didn't get destroyed. This one obviously came in before the winter. So this ship, you know, maybe they discovered them. We don't know all the details. Maybe they discovered them there on the other side of the island. But this was obviously a major shipping lane and where these all the cargoes came through. So after 3 months, in verse 11, in a ship of Alexandria we departed, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign or whose name was Castor and Pollux. Now there's a couple of good omens. You know, let's get on that ship. You know, you got a lot of these prisoners and a lot of these Romans. Well, we'll get on that ship. That should be a ship of good fortune. Number one, they didn't get crashed up in a winter storm, and hopefully that'll turn out better for us. Of course, Paul and his group were not depending upon that, amen? And landing at Syracuse, now that's in the island of Sicily, so now we have Malta down below, then Sicily is one of the big, large islands, if you remember geography, up near the boot of Sicily, Italy. And so they came up to Syracuse, which is there in Sicily, and we tarried there 3 days. And from there we brought a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli. There in Puteoli, we found brethren. How interesting. Okay, so now we found brethren. We found brethren there. First time they've run into believers in Puteoli. And there we found brethren. We desired to tarry with them 7 days. 7 days? How can you do that if you're a prisoner on a ship? Because the centurion put them all in there, and there Paul's one of the prisoners, but all of a sudden he gets to spend 7 days with the believers in Puteoli. Or in Puteoli. How powerful is that? Is that God makes a way. Amen? God will make a way for you. If something needs to be done, God will make a way for that. Amen? Another interesting thing about this is that in a moment we'll find out where they're headed toward. They keep on their trek, because all of this is about Paul having appealed his case in the court of Festus and Felix, he having appealed his case to Caesar. And that's a legal term, is appealing to Caesar. Once you've appealed to Caesar, you're in the custody of the Romans, and they're going to take you to Caesar, to the court of Caesar. It's legally binding you to come into the court of Caesar to meet your appeal. So, you remember earlier they had talked about it, said, this man might have been set at liberty because he'd done nothing wrong. And as far as the Roman laws had been concerned, he'd done nothing wrong. And this man might have been set at liberty had he not appealed to Caesar. So he appealed to Caesar. And so now he's on his way to Rome, whether he has misgivings about that or not. He'd already made his commitment. So in doing so, here in Puteoli, he meets these believers. Well, a bunch of believers are coming out to meet him. How'd they know he was coming? He was in Puteoli 7 days. Could they have sent a messenger on to Rome? Hey, Paul's coming. And you remember, Paul had by this time, most people believe by this time, he had written the epistle to the Romans before he arrived. So they already had that epistle. So that's not one of the ones he wrote from prison, in my understanding of it. So they had already been blessed by that book. How many have read the book of Romans? Maybe part of it. Maybe you should read it. It's shorter than the book of Acts. Maybe you should go start with that one. Amen? Maybe you haven't read the book of Acts. Maybe you could read the book of Romans. Somebody, how many of you have read the book of Jude? Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, 20 verses, right? Or 25. 30 verses. One chapter. All right. So once he had written that book, you read that book of Romans, that'll set a lot of you free from all of your bondage. Amen? I'm telling you, it'll set you free. The book of Romans will set you free. Just read up through chapter 8. You'll read the rest of it, but, chapter 8 is the doctrine of the church and doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of the work of Jesus and the life of Abraham to the life of Jesus. Amen? You want a short version of the gospel of the kingdom? Read Romans 1 through 8. That'll bless you. Amen? Then call me and tell me you did it. Amen? Praise God. Facebook me. Tweet me. So I guess you don't tweet people. I think tweets just kind of go out there, don't they? All right. So now, verse 14, then we found brethren, and we desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so then we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and three taverns. Now those cities were like 51 miles and 33 miles from Rome, respectively. So in other words, they came out 50 miles. Some of them came out as far as 50 miles out of Rome. Of course, maybe they're nervous and they didn't want to be caught seeing Paul, so they came way out of town. to greet him and to meet with him. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. How powerful. Why would he be chosen out? Because God makes choices. God makes decisions. God decides. God sets you in position to where you will be a blessing and do the most good. Amen? You may not know where you are or why you're there. Sometimes you don't know why you're in a given place or what's happening. But I want you to know right now, if you're in Christ Jesus, that He has prepared you for that place. He has prepared you for that place. Amen? I'm prepared. Now, you don't need to, don't take inventory other than the fact that you say, whatever is coming my way, I can handle it because the God of the heavens, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost reside on the inside of me. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I hear the Lord. I am not afraid. Amen? This is who you are. So Paul was allowed to dwell by himself in verse 16 with a soldier that kept, just one guy, just one soldier that kept him. And it came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. This is great. And when they were come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar." Why did he appeal to Caesar? Because if he had been released to the Jews, they would have killed him on the spot. So the reasoning behind his appeal to Caesar was to get out of town. And that the Lord had it in mind for him to do. So when the Jews spoke against it, in verse 19, "I was constrained to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything to accuse my nation of." In other words, I was not accusing them of anything. I'm just trying to get myself out of town to get the gospel going. God didn't say, "Okay, give your life up today." He had another plan. So he got him in a, you know, like the other time when they put him in a basket and shipped him off, you know, in the middle of the night. Or I love the other story. Is that one of the earlier items was that there was a band of Jews who had determined to kill him, and there was 40 guys who had determined to kill him, and Paul's nephew came and told the magistrate. The magistrate got together 200 horsemen, 200 foot soldiers, and, you know, umpteen others, just to carry the guy to the next location and to hide him out. I mean, God gets his people where he wants them to go. God gets you where he wants you to go. See, I want you to make that correlation. Amen? Make that connection, is that Paul is no different from you. And you are no different from Paul in the sense that God is using you. You know, we have, just as an example, we have representatives who represent us in the local politics and the house districts and those house districts have a certain number of people in them. Same thing in Texas with the Senate districts. We have a certain number of people in those districts. Well, guess what? You got a certain number of people in your district that God uses you to influence and to move on and to minister to. Amen? God uses you because you're His representative in a particular district. Now, you may have overlapping districts. You know, you may have other people who meet with the same people you meet with, but you meet with them for other purposes, and God uses you to minister to them in that place. Amen? See, God is using you. He has set you in place. Who? Me? Yeah, you. You know, don't look at yourself and say, "Well, what do I have?" No, you have, what do you have? You have the living God on the inside of you. Yes, you. You know, oh, well, you know, and you can quite, kind of turn me off at that point. And you want, yeah, I know sometimes you kind of want to anyway. But what time is it? Is that guy done? No, but listen, God has you in place. You are a representative of the kingdom of heaven. Said you are his ambassadors to bring the name of Jesus to every man, to every woman, every child. That's who you are. Do you see yourself that way? Well, start. Start. Amen? All right, now. Verse 20. Now he's talking again to the Jews and the Jewish leaders there in Rome. For this cause, therefore, I have called you, for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, the Messiah, I am bound by this chain. And they said unto him, we not... It's very interesting here. Because, I mean, the Jews up back over in the Holy Land, back over in Caesarea and Jerusalem, oh, they were up in arms. They were looking to kill the guy. They wanted this guy dead. And, you know, so many times on so many of the trips, I think you may remember that in some of the missionary trips, they would follow him from town to town. The Jews who did not agree with the gospel would follow him. They followed him from Thessalonica to Berea, and they'd be chasing him down, you know, and try to run him out of the next town. I mean, they had it on their agenda. They were going to get rid of this guy. But here, nobody made it to Rome to make those complaints. He says, the Jews there said, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning you, neither any of the brethren that came or showed or spoke any harm of you. Any harm of you. But we desire to hear of what you think. For as concerning this sect, the only thing we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So God protected Paul in the city of Rome with respect to this, to the Jews and the leaders, as they were not, you know, out to kill him there in Rome. In fact, we hadn't even heard anything. We hadn't even heard anything about you. All we know is this sect of the Nazarenes is kind of spoken against most every place in the Jewish community. In verse 23, and when they had appointed a day, there came many to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. All right? So they appointed an entire day. We're going to have a seminar today. We're going to have a seminar. We're going to talk about Jesus today. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Now listen to the end of it, because he could hear the rumbling in the room. And listen to what he reads. Or he speaks. Isaiah chapter 6. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken this one word. Well spoke, here's what he says. The Holy Ghost spoke accurately by Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed fat, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. What an indictment that Paul uses upon the Jewish leaders, that God was talking to them in that hour. Verse 28, be it therefore known unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Woohoo! I'm one of them. And I heard it. But God said, they will hear it. That's another thing that gives you encouragement, amen. Number one, you heard it. Number two, somebody else is going to hear it. Amen? Because this is the day of the Gentiles where the Gentiles are set to hear the gospel. The Gentiles are not under a law, but they're under a gift. Because the Jews were intended to be what? The exclusive carriers of the kingdom of heaven? No. They were to be what? A light to the Gentiles. God created a light to carry throughout the world. You notice there are Jews everywhere? I mean, they're dispersed everywhere. And yet, they don't have that light. But they carry the light that led to the light. They carry the light that led to Jesus, which led to you and me. And they are a reminder of God's hope and His desire to have a people. Amen? And God has preserved them as the people of God to demonstrate that He loves those whom He called. You are part of that family. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 years in his own hired house and received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things concerned the Lord Jesus Christ, and all with all confidence, no man forbidding him. The last two verses of this chapter, of this book, so powerful. He's in prison as a prisoner of Rome, and yet 2 years in his own hired house, everybody coming to him. He had met in all kinds of other people's houses, been in other people's. Now, these 2 years, he's got his house that's basically his. He doesn't own it, but it's a house that's provided. And preaching and teaching all who would come to him. So therefore, everybody was allowed to come. Everybody was allowed to come. How powerful is God to make that room? And how many know that those people who came to him in that metropolis took that gospel and that word of God throughout Europe, throughout all parts of the world? I mean, that was the center of the universe. The secular universe at that time was Rome. And Paul received all that came to him in his own hired house, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. How many know you have that? That last verse is yours. Last two verses, I guess. Those are yours. Here we are in 2014. Back in the 28th year of the gospel. God's doing a mighty work in you. Amen? The reason I bring this to you today is to declare to you that the book of Acts hasn't stopped. But it proceeds. It continues with you. It continues with you. It's always continued. God always has a remnant. He always has a people. And this is you. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding you. This is who you are. Amen? God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Father, we thank you for this book. We thank you for this testimony of the kingdom of heaven, of God's church. Father, we ask you to minister to us as those who preach the gospel, preaching and teaching the kingdom of God with all confidence, no man forbidding. So, Father, we delight to give you praise and thanksgiving. Thank you that you use us. Thank you, Lord God, that you, when we wake up and when we go about our business, that you're doing great, great, great things through me. Through me. Everybody says that. Through me. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now that you're leading and guiding your people by the Holy Spirit. You're ministering through them and to them, giving them great power to lay hands upon the sick and to teach the kingdom of heaven. Thank you that they're not afraid. Thank you that they teach as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.